Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be talking about a subject that I find absolutely wonderful. I've had personal experiences with it, and I know many of you who are listening have had also. What is that subject matter? Ghosts. Yes, those spooky, weird things that do the most unusual stuff that we wouldn't always expect. And ghosts, well, we're going to hear about a number of stories. My guest today is Raymond Buckland. This man has a way of gathering history together and putting it into a fabulous format. This is the Wiser Field Guide to Ghosts. Now, what does that include? Apparitions, spirits, spectral lights, and a little bit of haunting. Raymond, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Donna. Nice to be here again.
Well, it's a delight. Raymond, you must spend a whole lot of time doing research. I mean, you had information on gypsies, which we talked about before, and here you've gotten this wonderful book on ghosts.
Well, I find that research is half the fun of writing. I've written, well, I've had published just over 60 books now.
Wow.
And so that's been a lot of research, but it's just been an absolute joy. I just love digging out facts and sorting them out and putting them into some sort of order. I guess because I'm a Virgo, perhaps that's it.
Well, I'm married to one of those, so I know how detail-oriented you people are. So I have a deep respect for that, because I'm not. My husband often says, Donna, you can go from A to Z and just do wonderfully. But he said, you don't know how the Blue Blazers, you did it. He said, I know, go from A to Z, and I can give you every single point of how I did it.
Right.
I just said, I don't have time for all that detail. So anyway, let's talk about ghosts, because one of the things that I really enjoyed about the book was the very first quote that you have in it.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm going to quote it exactly. The way to find out whether or not anything exists is to depend on the testimony of the eyes and ears of the multitude. If some have heard it or some have seen it, then we have to say it exists. If no one's heard it and no one has seen it, then we have to say it does not exist. So then, why not go to some village or some district and inquire? If from antiquity to the present and since the beginning of man, there are men who have seen the bodies of ghosts and spirits and heard their voices, how can we say that they do not exist? Now,
right.
This is a quote from Mosu, and correct me if I'm mispronouncing his name, a Chinese philosopher, 470 to 391 BCE. Boy, that's
right.
A true statement.
Yes, and that's a long time back, but it still holds absolutely true.
Very much so.
Of course, we know the things like mass hysteria and things like that. But it doesn't explain everything, and this really covers the whole genre. It covers everything. If people say that they've seen things, that they've heard things, and if more and more people and people everywhere have said it, then we have to accept that they have seen and heard these things. There's no question about it, and it certainly applies to ghosts. Yes.
Oh yes, in every culture, on every continent on the globe, in every little nook and cranny, there's always the stories about these experiences of seeing and hearing things and bumps in the night, if you will. Ghosts. Give us the true definition of what a ghost is.
Well, there are a lot of people who have different definitions. I would say that, as I say in the book, it's a visual or auditory occurrence that is out of the ordinary and unexplainable by traditional criteria. I would go further and say that it is a spirit, or in 9 cases out of 10, it is a spirit. It's the spirit of someone who has lived previously on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
All ghosts, therefore, are spirits, but not all spirits are ghosts, because everybody is a spirit, has a spirit. At death, they go on to the spirit world, the spirit land, whatever one wants to call it, whether you use the term heaven or whatever. But all spirits move on. Not all of them come back, but those who do come back, those who do have a reason for returning here, for appearing here, for being heard here, these we label ghosts. So all mm-hmm. ghosts are actually deceased spirits.
There are so many tales that I've heard through the years, various experiences that people have had. Some of them could be spooky, I'll use that, pun intended.
Uh-huh.
But the reality is that many of the experiences that I have heard people tell about through the years, it has been very meaningful to them. This wasn't something that was just like staying in a B&B and the spook of the former headmistress of the building 500 right. years ago shows up. That's not right. what we're talking about. Many times the experiences are very, very moving to them because it has a significant effect on their thinking and the awareness of the environment that they're in, and maybe even their own personal life and what's going on in their life.
Well, I think along those lines, we might bring the focus on the fact that so many ghosts are seen in times of war.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with the Afghan situation and what we've had happening in the Middle East generally, so much war, so much death, there have been a lot of ghostly sightings, and these generally have been very, very meaningful to the people who have seen them, because they are generally the ghosts of, or spirits, if you like, of their loved ones, of their husbands, wives, sons, daughters, or mm-hmm. whatever, because it's at the moment of death that many times the spirit will rush back to their loved one to make that connection. And there is that link always between the living and the dead, and the link especially with loved ones, so very, very close. So if there's a lady whose husband is in Afghanistan and who is killed at the moment of death, she will many times have this vision, this fleeting glimpse perhaps, or this feeling that something has happened to him. There will mm-hmm. be that connection there.
Oh, absolutely. And there is a story that came into my mind when you were speaking about that very, very issue where the aspect of time and space is non-existent. Mm. And this was told to me by a woman who had been born in Tasmania. Well, right there you hear about Tasmania and you think of all kinds of little odds and ends of stories that you would, you know, likely associate with Halloween
right.
and Count Dracula. But the reality was, she said in the village that she was born in Tasmania, that people didn't wear watches. The clocks were not important to them. She said, we always knew the correct time. It was just, and telepathy was very common, she said, in this village. And her mother, who had never left Tasmania, had a sister, and her sister lived here in the United States. And what occurred is that, and this was back, I think, in the 40s, something like this, and she said her mother, she was in the kitchen, and she said, oh, my goodness, my sister has hurt herself. And there was this communication. Now, it wasn't a ghost, per se,
right.
but it was this communication, this feeling, and she got a letter, this woman's mother did, about a month later, because at that time, it took months sometimes for mail to reach a place, and you didn't have cell phones and what we've
right.
got with computers today. But she got a letter from her sister, and her sister described in the letter what had happened to her. She had cut herself and scalded herself very badly in the kitchen and had to go to the hospital. And this woman's mother, when she read this, she said, oh, my goodness. So she felt everything that her sister felt, and they were not twins.
Right.
You know,
right.
thousands
yes.
and thousands of miles apart.
Yes, there are many instances of that. I grew up during the Second World War in England with the Blitz, the bombing of London, and all of that. And there were a lot of instances of that, not just of the deaths, the sudden deaths, but of the injuries and mm-hmm. the someone close, like that, feeling it, knowing that something dreadful had happened. But as you say, space makes no difference there. You can be halfway around the world and still get that feeling from your loved one of what has happened.
Absolutely. So these things occur, and often if there is this passing, and then sometimes there will actually be a materialization of that person in front of someone,
mm-hmm.
and they're not expecting, you know, you're not expecting this, and they have come to say goodbye or trying to let someone know. That happened with members of my family, certain individuals, and they were made aware of a very critical situation. And sometimes people will experience it in a dream state. Let's talk about animal ghosts for a minute, because
yes.
I've had some very personal experiences with that. And so many of my listeners are avid animal lovers. I had a woman on yesterday who deals with rescue dogs, and she's had experiences like I have had where they have been aware of the presence of a deceased pet. And there
yes.
are some people that have even taken photographs and found that there was this image in the photograph of a spirit pet. You
right.
have a wonderful story in this book about a Karen Terrier who was the pet of a particular woman.
Lady Herrier.
Herrier, yes. Tell us that story.
Yes, she was photographed with her Irish wolfhound named Tara, which incidentally is my wife's name. This was back in 1926, but it was she was a lady, she was of the nobility, and so it was a very special photograph, and everything was set up, and she had her beautiful Irish wolfhound there beside her. And when the photograph was developed and presented, there behind Tara, the wolfhound's rear end, was the face of Cathal, a Ken Terrier pet who had died 6 weeks before the photograph was taken. And Cathal and Tara had been inseparable friends before the terrier had died, and just turned up in the photograph. And this is one of many examples of pets turning up. The story I love, I think, is just a little further on in my book, where I talk about the little boy, 10-year-old boy, whose pet dog was run over and killed by a car. And this was
mm-hmm.
more recently, 1971, this took place. And it was 6 or 8 months later, I think, and the boy was playing a game of hide-and-seek with his friends in a big field of corn. And as he ran through the field, a dog came running out, and he almost tripped over the dog. And then when he looked, he saw that it was his deceased dog, Snoopy, as he called it.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog stood there wagging his tail and then turned around and dashed off through the corn. And the boy was absolutely certain it was his deceased dog, because it had very distinctive marking, and he felt there was no mistaking him. And he chased through the corn after the animal, and suddenly the animal just disappeared. And as the boy ran on, he came to a large cement block that he and his mother had placed in the field in lieu of a tombstone when Snoopy had died. And in fact, this block still had the name Snoopy on it, where his mother had written a name on it in magic marker. And so there was this beloved animal of the little boys who appeared to him when he was playing and led him back to the gravesite and disappeared again.
Just to say, I'm here. I'm not
yes.
I'm not gone. I'm here.
Right, right.
The body's
yes.
gone, but I'm here.
Right. And that's, I think that's an interesting point, that many times ghosts do not appear because of tragedy, but because of remembrance of good times, of love, of fun that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
Some ghosts, when visiting haunted houses and examining them, sometimes you'll find that there's a ghost there that is hanging around simply because it loved the place so much during life that it just doesn't want to leave. I had a case like that years back when I lived on Long Island in New York, and I went to visit this house which was haunted. And I had a young lady who was a very, very good medium I would take with me, and I would put her into trance. Actually, I did hypnosis. I would put her into trance so she could contact more easily the ghost that was there, the spirit that was there. And there was this young lady haunting the house, and she was there. She hadn't actually lived in that house. She had lived next door, but her family had treated her very badly. The people in this house had treated her very lovingly, almost brought her into their family, as it were, to the point where when she got married, she actually left from that house, and she had the reception in that house. So that house had all the wonderful, loving memories for her. So she was just loath to leave it at death. She just wanted to hang around that place where she had known so much happiness.
Fascinating stories. It brings to mind something a client told me many years ago. She was Japanese. Mm-hmm. Her sister passed away, and she was encountering quite a dilemma because her sister kept sending messages to her that she wanted to be buried in Japan. Now, her sister had been married to an American serviceman. That's how she had come to know him. While she was in Japan, they got married, and then she came to the United States. Now, this couple had lived in the United States for many, many years, and her sister had come over and had joined her and lived and had a very good life here in the United States. So when the one sister died, it had been in her will that even though she loved the United States, she wanted to be buried with her ancestors in Japan. The American husband did not want to do that. Her death, his wife's death, just really hit him hard. He said, no, we're going to bury her remains here. And she was cremated. That was honored. But he said, no, we will have it in a particular location, and I don't remember where they were living in the United States. And this woman came to me, and she said, my sister keeps coming to me and saying that this must be honored. My ashes have to be placed in the ancestor site in Japan. And so this was a bone of contention, and I said, well, I think what you may want to do is see if you, because your sister keeps coming back and impressing you with this, that her spirit cannot rest until she does this. And for those of you listening, you may think that this is something out of a sci-fi movie, but it's not. This is a very real experience she was going through. And I said the husband loved her a great deal, and he feels that he wants her ashes close to her, to him, and maybe part of the ashes could be sent to Japan, and then the other part could stay, you know, part could stay in the United States. And the next time you have a visitation with your sister, see if this is an arrangement that would be satisfying. And believe it or not, the sister said yes, that that would be satisfying. And so that's what was done.
Good, yes.
And
yes.
It's amazing how those that pass over sometimes that they have things that they need to have done or unfinished business. My own father did that with me. He came back 3 years after he had died to tell me things were not finished.
Yes, yes.
And by golly, within 30 days, everything was cleared up because I was made aware, but nobody else was taking care of things the way they were supposed to. And so for 3 years, so he came back to me and let me know in his own way, this has to be taken care of. So I share those two experiences just to give an idea of variables that can be experienced by people. There's all of these various experiences. It's absolutely fascinating.
Absolutely, yes. And I can understand with the Japanese lady. I mean, ancestor worship is so very, very important in Japan. So that will be a very important part for her to be placed there. But yes, that's what I would have suggested, splitting the ashes, as it were, so she was in both places, which happily you can do with cremation. It's not easy otherwise.
Well, that's very true. And that is something, again, sometimes we have resolutions. And what I tell people is when individuals pass over, when any of us pass over, which we're all going to do, we keep going on. This isn't the end of the road, but our physical vehicle isn't here. So people have to, or those energies, try to communicate the best way they can. And some of the most interesting stories have been by people in the military. And you brought that up earlier. And England, I mean, I have just read so many stories about English airmen, and you've got a number of different stories. But former military men saving the lives of pilots. saying, don't do that, don't do this. I mean, even Charles Lindbergh on a flight said there was someone with him.
Right. Yes, he did. Yes. Yeah, this is it's amazing what does happen with ghosts and how useful they can be. I mean, from the mundane of coming back to tell you where the will was secreted, mm-hmm. When everybody's been searching for the will and things like that. But yes, it's amazing the lengths to which it seems that spirits will go. I was just trying to flick through the book here to find the details of the screaming skulls, because since we were talking about the lady being divided, as it were, and having parts sent back to Japan, there were cases in England of what were called screaming skulls, of skulls which became ghosts which terrified people. And it turned out in one particular case, and I can't find it right at the moment, but in one particular case, this haunting was going on, these terrible noises, this screaming, and it was because the head of the deceased person, I think it was a servant or a slave or something like that, the deceased, the head had been buried separately from the body, had been separated from it. And basically, the skull was screaming to be put back together again.
Fascinating. Well, you also talk in your book, in 1981, there were two actors, because in the South they have the Civil War, the acting out of the Civil War and various battles, which is really, really a very big tourist attraction, but they are just as accurate as they possibly can be. But there were these two men that were out in one of these enactments.
Right.
And they were on top of Little Round Top and looking down at a valley. And they actually saw a Civil War soldier coming towards them. And I'm going to quote from your book. He seemed very weary. His uniform and his face were sweat-stained and begrimed with the smoke and dirt of battle. When he got to them, he spoke a few words and handed them two rounds of ammunition. Now, it was forbidden to carry live rounds of ammunition when they were going through an enactment process.
Right.
You're just not allowed to do that. But these two cartridges were authentic to the point of containing the mini balls found in the real rounds. This soldier turned around, went back the way he came, eventually disappearing. The two rounds that he left behind turned out to be authentic ammunition from the period. So this is a soldier that walked through a time warp.
Right. And this was as recent as 1981, yes.
Yes. Boy, can you imagine how those guys felt? I mean, all of this is documented.
Really. And something there which I think is fascinating is the fact that the ghost came, he disappeared again, but he left something material.
Mm-hmm.
He left these two bullets, material objects, and this is quite unusual.
It is. It's absolutely amazing. You have a story in here about Custer.
Yes.
And that I found fascinating. Of course, I have my personal opinion, but that doesn't count here. What counts is the story. Now, this takes place on June 25th, 1876. 600 soldiers plus Custer die because the Sioux Nation and others got together and said enough is enough.
Uh-huh.
However, he's been seen at the Battlefield Museum by people.
Yes, yes, many times, and by a large number of people. This was at the Battlefield Cemetery. Also, employees reported seeing him there, and at the Stone House, there's a two-story building there, a stone building there, which is used basically just by the park staff. And phantoms have appeared there at the foot of beds. Ghost lights have been seen. Footsteps have been heard. And Custer himself has been seen there a number of times and by a number of people in the Battlefield Museum.
You have so many famous people that anybody would recognize. James Dean, Jesse James, Gene Harlow, John Lennon. Let's talk about John Lennon, because he was killed, shot by someone in New York in 1980.
Right.
And John had told people that he had seen in the building that he lived in the crying lady ghost. And there have been a number of people that say that they've seen his ghost.
Right, yes, yes. In 83, I think, there was a man who saw a figure in a Dakota entranceway and saw the apparition there. Other people, including Yoko Ono, have seen Lennon inside the building. But what I find really interesting looking at celebrity ghosts is that you get people like Red Fox turning up in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would think that, you know, the star of Sanford and Son, who finally did die of a heart attack, that he would turn up as a ghost? He's been seen. Of course, James Dean, as you say, and John Wayne turning up on his yacht, being seen there by the man who bought the yacht. He's been shown there. Beer glasses and the bar on the yachts have rattled, and people have strongly sensed John Wayne's presence.
Mm-hmm.
Orson Welles, I mean, so many of these people. George Reeves, Superman. I guess he was Superman if he can come back again.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, sometimes the circumstances with their passing, there's so many questions. It's like,
right, yes.
You know, with Steve Reeves, it's been stated he was murdered. He just didn't have an accident and die. That he actually was murdered by someone and that was covered up. And there's just
right.
so much stuff around his death. And sometimes there will be those personalities that even if there's something suspicious like that, until they can finally get the information about what happened to them out, then
mm-hmm.
it's like they won't rest.
The
facts have to be found out. It makes me wonder about it. Now, I know we've just got a couple of minutes left, but you have in England an English fairy known as Robin Goodfellow.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And you have the most delightful illustration about him. Now, he's a mischievous little imp, isn't he?
Yes, yes, and can be good or bad, as a matter of fact. Robin Goodfellow pops up all over the place and sometimes does good deeds, sometimes does bad deeds, but is well known in many, many parts of England, very much in the west of England, southwest, but all over the place. And many, actually, fairies seem to be very predominant in England, all sorts of different fairies who do turn up there. Robin, he was a shapeshifter. He could change into different shapes, and
mm-hmm.
that was one of the good things about him, because somebody would see him and say, oh, there's Robin Goodfellow, and somebody else would look and say, no, that's just a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd change into a rabbit or a fox or whatever, and then the person would look away, and Robin Goodfellow would change back again into an imp. So he was very much a shapeshifter.
Well, your book here has so many wonderful things. And one of my favorite stories was about Wild Edric, and I'd never heard of him. Wild Edric, or Edric the Wild. Am I pronouncing his name correctly?
Yes, yes, indeed. Now, he was with the Wild Hunt, wasn't he?
He was the grandson of Edric Streona, Ealdorman of Mercia, under Ethelred the Unready. I mean, the English have so many titles. You know, you've got so many things that you have to know. The family history is amazing. Just trying to read it through is something
right.
else. But what was so amazing to me about this particular individual is that he is a warrior, and that he has been seen any time England has been threatened.
Right.
And you have stories about personalities that are associated with America, but these warriors will appear. And you said that he appeared to people in the Falklands when England had the
right.
challenge there.
Right, yes, in the Falklands, World War I and II, the Crimean War, Napoleonic Wars, yes. He would often turn up, and he wasn't the only one. A number of these warrior ghosts would turn up, and they were, since they were warriors, then they were very much drawn, I guess, to the fighting, to battles that were going on. And perhaps it was the lure of the battle, or perhaps it was the recalling the adrenaline flowing when they went into battle, that they were drawn to these modern battles, or these battles throughout the ages. They just wanted to be back a part of it again. But they were also showing that England would carry on. At the Tower of London in England, they have the ravens there, and the ravens are omen birds, because it's said that if ever the ravens leave the Tower of London, then England will fall. But mm-hmm. they've never left yet. Of course, they've got their wings clipped, so it will be difficult for them. but anyway, with the ravens, with Wild Eric, with many people, yeah, they're there looking after England, if you will.
Fascinating stories. Well, I know we're out of time, Raymond. Your book on ghosts, hey folks, Halloween is coming up. This is great information, though. The research that you've done on different cultures, whether it's the Hawaiian culture, whether it's the African culture, America, England, any part of Europe, it doesn't make any difference, Australia. The stories are there to be told. Mm. And, of course, this wonderful book would make a great gift, and all you'd have to do is memorize a few stories and share them with people, and their hair would raise up on the back of their neck. It's wonderful. The Wiser Field Guide to Ghosts. Raymond, what is the website that we can go to find out about you and more of your research that you've done on the paranormal?
I'm at www.raybuckland.com.
Ray Buckland, BUCKLAND.com.
Right.
Well, Ray, I'm looking forward to your next publication on the paranormal. Thank you ever so much for being my guest. It's been a delight.
Well, thank you, Donna. It's been a pleasure being here.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. The Wiser Field Guide to Ghosts. Everything you might be interested in knowing, and a lot more to explore that you maybe had never even thought of investigating. The Wiser Field Guide to Ghosts, Raymond Buckland is the author. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back, and our telephone lines are now open, so if you'd like to call in and chat with me during the next half hour, You're more than welcome to do so. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number, toll-free worldwide, that you can call into. 888-815-9756. Now, I do know we have a caller on the line, so caller, please wait a moment, because I want to give out a couple of points of information. One, the newsletter will be going out tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow, the first of the month. Can you believe it? This month is just zipped by like steam locomotives going 10,000 miles an hour. It's just amazing. So that's going to be going out. I also have the list regarding the guests for the month put up by this evening so that you'll find out who's coming online during the month of October. But also, I did want to say that there is a special event that is going to be going on in Tacoma, Washington. And that, of course, for those of you in the state of Washington, this will apply because most of you in the other parts of the country cannot attend. But this is an evening of mediumship. And this is going to be held on October the 7th. It's a Thursday evening from 7 until 9 at the Blue Mouse Theater, which is at 2611 North Proctor Street in Tacoma. And there are going to be a number of demonstrations there. People will be showing their various skills and how they present them to you. One of the people appearing is a transphysical phenomena medium by the name of Michael. This is a very fine man, and he is coming into the area. I talked with Michael, got a message from him today. He is traveling in Montana at this time, and I'm looking forward to having a chance to be at this event myself. So there are tickets available. If you'd like to go to this wonderful event, an evening of mediumship, call 253-503-3773. 253-503-3773, or go to their website, Spiritual Art Alliance. Excuse me. It's Spiritual Arts. Arts is plural. Alliance.com, and you will be able to attend this wonderful event. You'll find out about everything that you need to know. Okay, I know we've got a caller waiting. By the way, when you call in, all I need is your first name or initial. I love to know where you're calling in from. Then let me tell you what I perceive, and you're welcome to ask a question after I finish about anything you like. The toll-free number, 888-815-9756. Let's go to our first caller. Caller, thank you so much for being so patient and waiting. Welcome to the show. Hello? Oh, must have dropped. All right, telephone line is open, 888-815-9756. So the person may have stepped away from their phone. Regardless, if the line is open if you would like to call in yourself. I wanted to share something with you that I had found out about, and this is not a big surprise, but if you're interested in having a long life, we all here eat healthy, you'd really need to take your supplements, this type of thing, and so we are becoming more and more aware of paying conscious attention to ourselves so that we can enjoy good health. And this is something, goodness gracious, I think of Gaylord Houser, Jack LaLanne, these people. Mr. Houser passed away a long time ago, but Jack LaLanne and other people that have constantly promoted take care of your body so that you can be well. Well, some of the things that they have discovered that create longevity, yes. And for those of you that are interested in that, I've got some tips. If you want to be around for a while, hey, these people have some ideas, so I'll share them with you. We've got our caller back. Welcome, caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. It's Amy. I'm calling from Maine.
Where in Maine, Amy?
Well, actually in the foothills of Maine, probably within a couple hundred miles or so of Quebec.
Ooh, you're up there in beautiful country.
It's very beautiful now. It's alive in color, reds, oranges, yellows.
Ooh, I love it. I just love it. That's such a gorgeous, gorgeous area of the country. Okay, Amy, let's get down to business with you. The first thing I am observing is a creative streak, and apparently this is going to be impressed upon you both in writing or through writing, as well as painting or drawing. Now, we can do a lot of things with computers, so maybe you would like to utilize a computer, but to me it seems as if your hand needs to connect with paper via pen and or drawing items. There's something that is magical about it for you, and you need to have a space that allows you to enter into what I call the zone, and that is the mind zone that allows you to connect and communicate with what I call your higher self. And this is very important to you because you are highly intuitive, and you've gone through a number of stressful situations in the last 3 to 4 months. And so to deal with the stress, which is going to be going on, I would say, probably until about August of next year. Now, this isn't meant to be taken as a negative. You have got people around you and conditions around you that have to be worked through. And you need to keep yourself focused, and you need to determine where you want to put your mind and your energy. And if something is not really in harmony with you in the right way, if you go and you start writing or you start your drawing, you're automatically put into that zone where you have clarity about how to resolve some of the environments you find yourself within. And apparently, there is a lot of agitation going on with people around you. I really think they're very scared. I think that they do not know how to articulate their concerns and their fears. So they are reacting, and this could be both on a personal level, it could be on a job level, and when you come to understand that, then you'll know how you can be an observer and take care of business as it needs to be taken care of, but not be gathered in to their stuff, if you will. And that's going to be very useful to you. I really think your intuitive skills are expanding in a very, very special way. So I want you to, if you will give it consideration, to utilize a pen and or art implements, crayons, charcoal, whatever you want. You need to remember that that is what keeps you level. That is what enables you to have that clarity of mental transmission and information. And you really do well when you do that. And you could do it at any time, any place, anywhere. It's a type of discipline for you. It works. Because I'm seeing you all tensed up. You're just feeling people around you and saying, oh, I just assume be by myself. I don't want to be in this stuff. But you are. So it's a discipline that you're learning that I think is really going to liberate you in many, many ways. Do you have a question for me?
Oh, thank you. I do. I put my property up for sale.
Mhm.
And any idea when this might sell?
I'd give it a year. I'd
oh,
give
that's
it a year.
Bad.
No,
okay.
No. It's not bad at all. You want people that are going to be able to pay the fair market price. You have someone that is going to approach you. Actually, two different individuals are going to approach you. They're going to want to do some creative financing. Don't get too excited about this. You want to know that you are not going to have to take the property back. So make sure that you check things out. Don't be in such a hurry. Also, there's something about the property that needs to be put into order. And I don't know what it is, but it's like I go to the four corners of the property, and I'm just checking things. And I'm okay to release it. And that may sound a little strange to you, but there's something that's not finished with the property. I don't know what it is, but it's not finished yet.
Well, thank you very much, Donna.
Well, I hope it made sense to you, dear.
Well, maybe I'll figure it out.
All right, that's fair enough. Just be patient.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your call. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll give you a tip or two about living longer. Yes, this is some points of information. These are some points of information I think you'll find interesting. One of them is about chocolate. I like that one. We'll be back in just a minute.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna, telephone line. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. Ooh, before I forget it, my wonderful guest tomorrow is Deborah Ivanoff, and we're going to be talking about how you can step up and make your life even better. And you know what's so nice about this interview? Her daughter, Abigail, helped her write her book, and we're going to be talking with both of them tomorrow. So I'm really looking forward to this. And as I said, those guests for this month of October coming, well, tomorrow, we're right in it. Well, you're going to find out all about that. It will all be up on bbsradio.com. I'll be putting a short summation with a listing of guests, and you'll be able to find out about subjects that perhaps you're interested in. Meanwhile, before we close out the show today, I wanted to just mention a couple of things. I got a fabulous story about some women that their lives were changed in a way that, well, you would just never expect. So if I have time, I'll share that. But I want to give you the tips on longevity. Now, of course, having a good attitude really makes a difference, and eating healthy makes a difference. But this one I especially liked, chocolate. Now, why? Chocolate is a wonderful food. It is something that actually helps fight inflammation. And, of course, for centuries, it was enjoyed by many, many cultures. And it's something that when the Spanish discovered it and took it back to Europe, the chocolate that they had was pretty bitter. Any of us that do any cooking with chocolate, you know that unless you add sugar, it's not very palatable. However, someone figured out how to do that, and cocoa was the luxury drink of the wealthy. And fortunately, in our world today, we are able to enjoy it for literally pennies a cup. And it is wonderfully, wonderfully refreshing and delicious. Well, chocolate, apparently, when it's in the diet, lowers levels of stress hormones in the bloodstream. Now, this was shared with me, my goodness, about 20 years ago by my next-door neighbor. My next-door neighbor was Sandy, and Sandy was a nurse. She worked in the radiation department at a hospital, and when she was in nurses' training and was learning how to deal with this unique environment, she had a professor in one of her classes who had traveled all over the world. And this woman, who at the time when Sandy was going to school, was in her late 60s and was very, very healthy and very strong, she told all of her students, you need to have chocolate on a regular basis because it is so good for the health. Of course, chocolate, you know, as far as Sandy and I were concerned, that's like the staff of life, so you want to be sure that you get that. And this is something that she said scientifically they had proved, and this was a long time ago, And she said, we had proof that it was very valuable for the wellness of the individual. So she made it a pattern. She had cocoa. She would have the dark chocolate, and she would fix the cocoa, her own special recipe. And she said it really invigorated her, and she just absolutely loved it. And she said, if you adopt that into your dietary regimen, well, you're going to find that its benefits are quite, quite high. Apparently, the dark chocolate has a lot of flavonoids in it. Now, this destroys the free radicals that cause inflammation in the body. So if you're not a chocolate person, well, you can have vegetables, fruits, garlic, flax seeds, salmon, walnuts, and almonds. That'll do also, but hey, it's okay. The dark chocolate, it's a good thing. It really, really is. And then also getting enough sleep. Boy, isn't that something that so many of us don't even pay attention to? We are indoctrinated that, boy, we should be, it's a great thing if you only get 2 hours of sleep a night. Man, that's really terrific. Well, I'll tell you what, it doesn't work for me. It never really has. And I have seen the effects of sleep deprivation with people, including myself, and it's not very positive. Medical students frequently will suffer tremendously because they are supposed to go through these rigorous patternings, and sleep is considered a luxury by many of them. And that's not good because your attention span is not what it should be. So double your odds of reaching 100 years of age. Make sure you get a good night's sleep. And that really makes a difference. So when you go to sleep at night, don't have the television on. Do something. Read a good book about gratitude or something, your favorite story, whatever you like. But get into some kind of a routine where the body is relaxed and it's pleasant to go to sleep. Lots of people like to use fragrances like vanilla or something that's very soothing to them. The choice is yours. But, you know, when you get a good night's sleep, you're going to do so much better on every level. Your energy will be sustained. You'll be able to be more productive. And that is a fact. Donna Sebo here. My goodness, I think we've got enough time. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to share the story of these two wonderful women. I'll save it for tomorrow. Let me share something else with you. And I was going to bring in a recipe. Ooh, I've got a recipe for a pumpkin custard that's coming out in my newsletter. You're going to love it. It's got peppery pecans with it. If it sounds a little strange, trust me, it's really, really good. So that's coming out in my newsletter, but I'm not going to have a chance to do it. There was a couple who really were devastated when a member of the family died. And there was this woman, Melissa, and she knew that in this family there was a wife and a baby that were left without a husband and a father. And she was very concerned, and when she found out about the family, she wanted to do something, so she decided she'd drop off a couple of packages of diapers and formula for the baby because she knew that the family was having a terrible time trying to take care of funeral costs. She said, I also found out where the funeral was going to be held. I went to the funeral home, and I donated some money. And she said, it was important that I do that, even though I did not know the family well. I wanted to give in my own way, and it wasn't important that people knew my name or that I was one of the contributors. What was important to me is that I felt I was contributing a little bit of light and maybe sunshine into an environment that seemed so dark for this family. And I thought Melissa's story was a beautiful one, and I wanted to share it with you. Because lots of times, it's thoughtful acts like that that have affected me in my life. Never knew who the person was that did the kindness. And as I have said earlier this week, passing it on is important. And each and every one of us can do something in our own way. Even if it's donating to a food bank, volunteering your time, being thoughtful and caring about someone when they need it in a moment, all of that is so important. It creates a frequency of balance and harmony that sometimes in a world that seems so dark and so confusing and so very depressing, it makes a difference. One person, and that's you, can make a difference. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And when your light shines, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to walk in its beam. You want to make sure that you have that light on so that they have the chance to feel its presence. You're very special. Thank you for being with me. Tomorrow, we're going to find out about how to make your life a little bit better. This is Donna Sebo. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.